to a podcast about something where each week we dive deep into whatever it is we find interesting. I'm your host, Calvin, and joining me from Lake Scranton, co-host Nick Richardson.
The third or eighth largest indigenous body of water in the United States.
I feel like that's not true.
I don't know.
I mean, okay, you got the five Great Lakes, so we know that. Those are the five largest, obviously. You got Lake Champlain in New York. That was once considered to be a great lake, but didn't make the cut. Sorry, Lake Champlain, even though you have a sea monster champy. Lake Okeechobee here in Florida is pretty big. I feel like Lake Tahoe's got to be big.
I mean, there's probably a shit. I'd like to disqualify a couple lakes because they stink. So I'm looking at you, fucking Lake Michigan, you stank-ass lake.
List of largest lakes in the United States. All right, 1, Lake Superior. 2, Lake Huron. 3, Lake Michigan. 4, Lake Erie. 5, Lake Ontario. 6, Great Salt Lake. 7, Lake of the Woods in Minnesota. Iliamna Lake in Alaska.
That's Lake cheating.
Oahe in North Dakota. All right, even if we take out Alaska, even if we take out Alaska, that, I mean, Lake Scranton still not top 8. Lake Okeechobee in Florida, man, Champlain is number 13. I always grew up, because I used to live on Lake Champlain, thinking it was this huge lake, and it's not even close.
These fucking peasants not even living near a lake.
I also don't think Lake Scranton is a real place.
Probably, I'm sure it is, but it probably stinks like shit. It's probably like Lake Springfield. It's dirty. They find 7 or 8 dead bodies in there every year, and you don't want to go there.
So is this Lake Springfield, Illinois, or is this Lake Springfield from The Simpsons?
Both.
So anyway, we're here to talk about the beach games in The Office, not what the largest lakes in the United States are. But I think we all learned something here today, didn't we?
I think we did. I sure did. That is you are correct. It is not, in fact, true.
But Lake Scranton is a real place, so.
Thank God for that.
So The Office is one of the best sitcoms ever, and unless you've been living under a rock for the last 16 years, you probably know what it is. But if you have been living under a rock, and we're your first stop on the internet, The Office is... Thanks for stopping by the way. Great.
Yeah,
great to have
thank you for listening.
Probably a lot of places you should have gone first. Pornhub, for instance. You know,
yeah, you have a lot of catching up to do.
You got a lot of catching up to do on the internet. But anyway, The Office is a show that was set up as a documentary following the lives of people who worked in an office together at a mid-level paper supply company, Dunder Mifflin, in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Before we continue, I have something to confess.
Okay, you've never seen The Office.
No, I work with a gentleman, the guy that works below me, because he's a loser. He claims to be – he's a self-claimed cinephile, mm-hmm. Never seen The Office, not one episode, not 1 minute, never seen Parks and Rec, never seen The Good Place.
Well, so it just sounds like this guy's not your friend anymore.
I mean, he walks around claiming he's a cinephile. I didn't really like him in the first place.
I mean –
I'm a fucking cinephile, bro. I know.
Yeah, Al Pacino's calling yourself greatest roles. A cinephile is pretentious as hell. I like movies. I watch as many movies as I possibly can. I have never claimed myself to be a cinephile just because, like, it's such a douchey thing to say.
It really fucking is. And then when he said, because I was dropping Office references all the time and he was not getting them. I was like, dude, have you ever fucking seen The Office? No.
I got that once in college where I'd drop random ass Seinfeld references or quotes all the time, right? And one of my friends, like, we're sitting there and it's on in the afternoon and he saw something that I had said before. And he goes, oh, that's from this? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you'd probably be a lot less funny if I watched more of this show. And I go, that's okay.
You're like, so don't.
Yeah, so let's turn this off now, please.
Yeah. Well, have you heard of Power Rangers?
Yeah, let's watch some Power Rangers, dude.
In college. Now hit this shit and let's watch some Power Rangers.
Definitely would need to be some illicit substances if you're watching Power Rangers in college.
I bet that'd be lit as fuck.
I learned the other day that, so it rains here in Florida often in the afternoon. And when it rains during PE time, my daughter does indoor PE. And you know what they do for indoor PE? They watch fucking Power Rangers.
They watch TV for indoor PE?
Yeah, because then they, like, do the karate that the Power Rangers are doing.
Oh!
Yeah.
That is gangster as fuck. Whoever came up with that regimen is a baller.
She got through, like, 3 episodes before she finally told me that that's what they do during indoor PE. And I'm like, what the hell?
Grab her by her shirt. Like, what? You what?
Oh. I'm like, you've been watching Which Power episode? Rangers at school this whole time, and... I think she said they did parts of the movie first, which is super inappropriate to watch at school for 6-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean...
Just that lady, really. The rest of it's fine.
Yeah,
The ninja lady.
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, she is. And then they watched... I don't remember what the bad guy... Like, she tells me, and she'll tell me who the bad guy, who the monster is, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I watched that when I was your age.
And again... A few months ago, because we were doing a podcast about Power Rangers, 3-part episode, almost 3.5 hours long. Go back and listen to that if you love Power Ranger talk.
It's actually a really good series. I enjoyed re-listening.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about that yet again. We're here to talk about Beach Games, which takes place in Season 3. It's episode 23. They're going to Lake Scranton, where Nick is currently at. And they take a coach bus there between the... office and the lake, which how far do you think the office was from the lake?
17 minutes.
Yeah, Scranton's not that big, but the big bus that they ride on, like, it feels like they're going like 2 hours or something, right? It's one of the coach buses, got a bathroom on it and everything, like,
right?
Why didn't they just drive their cars there?
That's a good question. Probably because people didn't want to ride with Meredith.
That's fine, but why did they go to the office to go to the beach? Why didn't everybody just meet at the beach at 10? If it's in the city, they all live in Scranton. Like, Scranton's not that big of a town.
That is a very fucking good point. And is that the same bus they rode later in the series?
The work bus?
Yes.
I would say no.
No, when they went to get pie.
Yeah, that was the work bus that Dwight set up as a temporary workspace. Right,
yep, you're correct.
And there were, like, desks and shit, and there was a lot more space, it seemed like. That was, I think that was Leslie Knope's campaign bus, to be honest, the work bus was.
That wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Yeah, so they take the coach bus there, which Michael calls a party bus. It's very decidedly not a party bus.
Yeah, they look bored as fuck.
I mean, they're singing show tunes the whole time, and I cannot think of a worse experience than being stuck on a bus for anywhere between 17 minutes and 2 hours with my coworkers singing the Flintstones song.
No. I'd be the guy, like, chain smoking out of the small crack in the window, like, oh, I fucking hate you all.
I would pretend to be asleep so fast. Sunglasses on, hat pulled down. Wake me up when we get there.
I'd probably cut a few farts too, so I can get some space.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, oops, sorry. Man, I'm a son of a bitch.
So the office gang, the people who work at Dunder Mifflin, 99% of them are going to the beach to have one of these coworker outings that companies love to have.
Yeah, for some fucking reason.
So that moves us into our 5 fundamental somethings about the Beach Games, with the first being, why is the seemingly normal group of office drones going to the beach? What do you think, Nick?
Well, I mean, he's trying to sell... He wants to sell it as a simple day of fun. But he's got a few ulterior motives.
Absolutely.
He's not nice.
Ulterior motives out the ass.
Yeah, like a bunch of them.
Just an ass load. Just going to keep going back to the asses.
It's better than ass. I feel like we have trends. It's either boobs, asses, or dicks.
Or no, fucking... You're the dicks one. You are the one that always brings it back to dicks.
I riff off your dicks, bro.
Everyone thinks they're getting a nice day outside of office life, just some fun in the sun. That's what Michael sells it as. But again, ulterior motives, as you said. Because Michael has been offered a chance to interview for a position at corporate. And he's got a bunch of team building exercises or funtivities planned for the team there. And some diligent note-taking for Pam. And there's going to be a special prize for the winner.
Well, one thing I also thought of when I was watching this episode again is it almost feels like a going-away party for Michael. Like, he's watching a kid's birthday party.
Yeah, because he thinks he's going away, and he set it up that way for himself.
It's very, you know, stupid of him. But I would have a blast out there, dude. Fuck. Sumo suits?
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about what we would think about it. But let's focus on Michael here for a minute, because he's really the
catalyst.
Yeah, the catalyst, thank you. The straw that stirs the drink of this episode, which I found myself pausing a lot more than I expected while I was watching it. Usually when we do an Office episode, like, I know it off the top of my head, I can stop and take notes and let it keep going. But I was just... It wasn't that I didn't remember anything. I think there was just more to every little thing than I thought. I thought these little things were just kind of one-offs, but then it would be this joke that kept compounding on itself. So it was a lot of fun to rewatch and to kind of really pay attention to, because I probably haven't paid attention to it since the first time I watched it back in 2009.
Absolutely. And I mean, I kept going into the episode thinking, it's like, I know what happens in this episode. And as I'm watching it, it's just like, I don't know how they're going to fit everything in this. How the it's just packed. It's packed with a lot of stuff.
It really is. And well, that was the other thing that, like you said, as you're going, like, I remembered these jokes were here and there or these different things. And I'm like, where do these come up? Like, this is only 22 minutes. They can't fit all of this stuff in still. And, you know, they did a good job.
They sure fucking did.
So what does Michael hope to accomplish at the beach games?
Well, I mean, he's got to find the replacement. He's got to have someone to fill that role, because he is pretentious and thinks he has that choice.
Yeah.
I don't think any, you know, large corporation of that caliber would be like, yeah, regional manager guy, pick your own replacement. That is, I just don't see that happening.
I think they would take his recommendation, right? They would, being Michael, they would take it with a grain of salt, but I think that they would accept it and put some stock in it. Like, if they're choosing and they have these four people lined up, and it's, let's just say it's the four people that Michael chose, Stanley, Jim, Andy, Dwight. If Michael's leaning towards Dwight, I think they would take a little bit harder consideration at Dwight because Michael trusts him, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Or at least David Wallace would.
Yeah, well, David Wallace would pick Jim.
Yeah, probably. If they got David to talking likes Jim. At all. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I think Jim probably, if he had not removed himself from contention from the corporate job, which we'll get to more on that in a minute, I think he probably would have got that job over Ryan. But Michael thinks he's a shoo-in for the job at corporate, so he's out there trying to determine who has the best leadership skills to take over for him and who he's going to recommend to David Wallace when he eventually gets the job, which he doesn't.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Woo, spoiler. Going back to your point of having to pause the episode a lot, mm-hmm. I really fucking did a lot. My wife was like reading shit out for me as I'm trying to type it out.
Yeah.
She's like, did you get that? Did you get that? No, rewind this shit.
Well, I was doing it on my phone, and for some, like, my keyboard must have resized or something, or I just can't find the key, because I got a new phone a couple months ago, and it's one of the bigger screen ones, and I can't get the space bar right. I keep hitting a period in there, and so I'll have all these, like, weird run-on sentences with 15 periods instead of spaces, and I have to go back and change it. So, like, I make all these weird grammatical errors when I'm typing on my phone and doing notes, so I like, try and catch those as I'm writing the notes. As I'm watching, and yeah, I just kept getting lost and be like, okay, pause, rewind, fine.
Well, quit being a sucker and get an iPhone, man.
No, false.
False.
So who is in contention for the job? I already said it. It's Andy, Jim, Dwight, and Stanley. Andy, he's classy. He gets Michael. He went to Cornell. Michael trusts him. Cons for Andy, though, he doesn't really trust him.
I don't really trust him.
That's a really great setup by Michael of, like, I trust him, you know, I trust him to do the right job. Cons, don't really trust him.
Michael's, I mean, all of these were perfect.
Yeah, Michael sets himself up really well quite a few times in this episode. Like, Michael was firing all cylinders in Beach Games, for sure.
It really felt like a masterclass in improv you know, it was fantastic. Michael Scarn was on full display. the acting chops of that beast.
So, give me some pros and cons about Jim.
I mean, he's smart, he's cool, he's good looking, he's handsome.
Does that remind you of anyone you know?
No. And but he doesn't really work hard at his job. He spends a lot of time at reception, and you know, it's just not good, bro.
That not a hard worker is another great Michael setting himself up to just jam a punchline home when he's like, you know, sometimes he'll finish a project in half an hour that it would take me a full day to finish. And
I could spend hours on a project and he's done in a few minutes.
So obviously he's not a hard worker there.
He's so exasperated by it too. And it's just like, oh God.
He's like, I don't understand how he does that. He's obviously mailing this in. He's not just like smarter and understands it, or like doesn't waste his time with all this banal shit that Michael does.
My 20 trips to the cooler and my 20 cups of water and 20 scans of the office. That takes time.
So for Dwight, he's got the best sales record in the office. He loves the work. However, he is an idiot.
He's an idiot.
And that's, you know, that's a fair point on Dwight. All of those points are very good.
Accurate. Very accurate.
Tell us why Stanley should be considered.
Dude, you said not really paying attention to the episodes since like 2009. It doesn't age that well with Stanley, because he's just all the good black people have done in America, and he sounds like he's in pain while he's saying it. He frowns emphatically.
He had no reason. It was 100% the Rooney Rule interview, right?
Oh, God, 100%.
From the NFL, you have to interview so many minority candidates for however many white candidates you interview. That's an NFL rule. And that was like clearly what Michael was doing by choosing Stanley. He's like, we got one black guy. He's my guy to put up for the job.
Well, I mean, shit, dude. He had a Judge Dredd level frown. Like, that thing was stretching down his face.
He had no good reason to hire Stanley as the boss. Like, he's the most senior employee. I guess Creed is the most senior employee, so that doesn't count.
Hey, no one told me we were having hot dogs.
Creed's great in this episode.
I fucking love Creed. They're all pretty awesome in this episode.
Yeah, everyone is really good. Kelly, I wish Kelly would have done a little more. I feel like she could have done more at the beach.
She was really absent. She had one line, I think, the whole episode?
She dropped the egg, which we'll get to in a minute. And I think she said something. Oh, she when they were doing the hot dogs, Angela asked for the turkey burger, and Michael said he gets the turkey burger, and Kelly went in on like how healthy of a meat turkey is or something like that.
Oh yeah, and then everyone.
So she had two lines. Okay.
Two? That's very minimal for Kelly Kapoor.
Yeah. I agree with you there. I think that still holds up because of who Michael is. Like that,
it makes sense. For
that's
sure.
Part of Michael's character is that he doesn't get that saying those things in those ways are inappropriate.
It's just bogus.
And he does it constantly throughout the series, and like that's part of Michael's character is that like he just doesn't get where that line is, and that like by him saying that he's saying, well, this is just a diversity thing. Like I don't really give a shit, and he's not really in contention.
I'm not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the fact that he's just having all these, I mean, he has like 15 synonyms for, you know, just cool and great for Jim. And because Stanley is black.
Michael Scarn. It's not even like because Stanley is black. It's because some black people have done good in America.
There you go.
So let's talk about the makeup of these teams.
These are some wicked tight teams.
Yeah, so let's go with Andy's team first. What's the team name here?
Motherfucking Team USA.
Why did he choose that?
Because he sucks polls.
He is such a kiss-ass. But he's patriotic. He's a patriotic kiss-ass.
Those are the worst. God, those are the worst. So annoying.
They are now, but I think in what was it, 2007 when this episode would have first aired? I think there's a different connotation of being patriotic in 2007 than there is in 2021.
Oh yeah, I mean at the time that was like the surge, and no, that was Obama that did the surge. No, Bush did a surge too.
Yeah, after 9/11 there was a big patriotism surge, and I think the remnants of that were still around in 2007, and then 2008 Obama gets elected, and there's this new pride from kind of the other side of the aisle now in, well, America's for us too, right?
Fuck, I miss Obama.
Yeah. Listen to Obama's podcast with Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, no thanks. That sounds awful. No.
Did you catch who was on? So they didn't do a very good job of explaining who was on each team. They'd show like one pick for each team. But
dude, I had the hardest time trying to get a roster going.
There was one scene right before they do the egg race where everybody's kind of segregated into their teams. And if you paused it there, you could see. So did you get who's on Andy's team?
I believe I did, with my wife's help, bless okay. her heart. She was like Leo DiCaprio in, you know, the Hollywood movie. I don't know which one, but you've seen the
oh,
meme.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the meme, yeah.
She's like, right there. Andy, Meredith, Kelly, and Angela.
I do not have Meredith on Andy's team. I don't think she's on Andy's team.
Well, then my wife lied to me.
I had Andy, Angela, and Kelly. I had Meredith somewhere else.
See, I couldn't figure out technically where
Meredith
Creed
was, a tough
was supposed to be.
Creed was way off to the side, and Creed was on Dwight's team because Dwight was the furthest over and Creed was closest to the lake in that scene. So like he had to be on Dwight's team if he's with the rest of his team, but being Creed, who knows?
So you're out here being all scientific and I was just like, I don't know. I can't tell.
What do you think Team USA's strengths are as a team?
You know, I think they can hold their liquor really well.
If Meredith is a part of the team.
If Meredith is there, yeah.
If she's not, then that makes it...
Negate that.
Well, I think Andy and Kelly are probably second and third to Meredith in being able to hold their liquor.
Yeah, I mean, they called... What did they call him?
Buzz.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Called him Ace.
Homie.
I love it when he gives himself 9 nicknames in one scene.
Call me Buzz. Puke. Yeah. Barf. Call me Ace. It's like Ace on my... Got straight C's.
So this is what happened. We've done a few Office episodes before. We've done one on the dinner party. We did one on the branch merger. Go back and check those out. But this happens often when we talk The Office, is we kind of get derailed into other things that happen on The Office. And that's okay.
That's the beauty of The Office. And if you're listening, you'll get it. Strength, though, and this is a tactic by Andy as a manager candidate, and that's picking a well-rounded team, because, you know, including him, so as a member of sales, Kelly is a member of what, human resources?
Customer relations.
There you go, customer relations, and Angela, the head of accounting. So he's got all three facets of the office in there, and he's out here looking out.
That's a very good point. I didn't think about that. That he's got a well-rounded team. Also,
I winked and clicked at my mic like a fucking idiot.
Excuse me, listeners. I'm going to leave it in. Don't worry. I've got a strength of hot dog eating as well.
They do pound some hot dogs.
Andy wins the hot dog eating contest.
Except one came up.
But he still won, though. What did you have for weaknesses for Team USA?
They have a mole inside in Angela. A traitor, if you will. He's also hamstrung by Kelly, who does not care at all.
She's surrounded
by
rocks.
Sand. Yeah. Right, dude, she's surrounded by sand. Kelly would definitely be one of the... She'd be like Anakin. Like, it's sand. It's just so close. And fucking gets in my ass. She would not be having a good time. And Andy would just be freaking out the whole time. Like, fuck, you're at a beach, idiot.
Yeah, she just didn't want to run into the big rock. I get it. You know, everybody's afraid of big rocks sometimes.
Ed Helms does such a good, like...
He's a good
yeller,
too.
About to explode. He really fucking is.
Good yellers in TV history, Ed Helms and Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany is a fantastic yeller. In TV, though?
Well, in WandaVision.
Yeah, he's a pretty good yeller.
Andy also gets stuck in a sumo suit in the lake is a weakness for me.
That's like, I mean, because of the mole factor, it's a double whammy.
Do you see what I'm doing? Go tell someone.
look at what I am doing and go tell them that. What? That was so perfect.
Let's talk about the blue team. Chosen because this is Stanley's team, and Michael tried to name them the red team because Stanley was wearing a red shirt, but Stanley can't agree with Michael on anything. It goes against his very nature. So he chooses the blue team as his tiny act of defiance against Michael.
I like blue.
That's a pretty good Stanley. It's no Jim Stanley, but it's a solid Stanley.
I don't like Jim Stanley. I think it's a stereotype, man.
Who else did you have on Stanley's team?
I had Oscar and Phyllis. Yes. So,
I agree there.
I think it's not many strengths.
No, to be very, very low strengths. The biggest strength they have is that Stanley is highly motivated to work for himself rather than anyone else in the office. He'd rather work for a broom with a bucket on its head. And he gets the eye of the tiger during the sumo matches.
Yeah, he really does. I mean, makes Jim's life flash before his eyes.
I couldn't think of three people who would care less than Stanley, Oscar, and Phyllis in the office.
Well, I feel like Oscar would give a shit.
No,
because Stanley was giving a shit.
Oscar's too pretentious to give a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He's too like high class, or he thinks he is.
Oh, like Scranton. Ugh. They found 7 dead bodies there just this year.
Actually, it was 8 dead bodies. Yeah, that was my main weakness for this team, is just the general team management. No one on this team is good at anything.
Well, no. And for Stanley, both not, Stanley
not in
and Phyllis,
Beach Game. Like, Oscar is good at being an accountant and loving Gil, which actually he's not good at because he's thinking of switching back to girls. Yeah.
Or who does he?
Angela thinks he can cross over.
Right. That seems like a weird thing Angela would say, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Stanley and Phyllis are very large, and they would have a hard time doing shit in sand.
But they could pound hot dogs, potentially.
You better fucking believe it. As a former very large person, sand was my mortal enemy because very clumsy, no balance. You just do a whole lot of falling around.
It's sand.
Fucking sad.
That's gonna be. I usually put a GIF with the new episode tweet. I'm gonna put the I hate sand GIF just for you.
You should.
It has nothing to do with The Office, but that's fine.
I mean, I hate sand. It's so coarse and irritating.
So Gryffindor is Dwight's team. Why
I was really
Gryffindor
surprised
chosen?
By Dwight.
He likes Harry Potter.
He fucking loves Harry Potter.
Why do you think Dwight chose Gryffindor?
Because he loves the prototypical horror hero story. Complete opposite words. My brain is ridiculous sometimes.
Well, and Slytherin are the bad guys.
Well, Slytherin are the bad guys. And, you know, I think he also chose Harry Potter because he wants to be the boy who lived.
Ooh.
And by lived, I mean lives through... What's that?
Survives the firewalk.
He doesn't know that yet. But that would kind of come into play. It's like a legend, a prophecy coming to fruition.
He is the chosen.
I didn't know I'd have to walk on fire. He is. He's got glasses and terrible hair. And
it wouldn't be hard to get a lightning bolt scar on his forehead.
Not good clothes. He'd give it himself.
Yeah.
Be like, Moe's brand me.
So the team members here I had were Dwight, Ryan, Creed, and Meredith. So Meredith must have been standing right on the edge of Dwight's team and Andy's team, where you couldn't really tell which team she was on, but I think there must have been something later that I noticed she was with Dwight instead of Andy.
I mean, that would make sense, just because I feel like Dwight wants to pick people he can bully.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he could outwit, which I think he could do that to anyone on that team, and you see evidence of it later.
Yeah, you see evidence of it, but Ryan doesn't put up with that shit.
I love that.
And Ryan's a little bit right, you know, like that's not always a great motivating factor, is just yelling at somebody until they do it right, that you have to listen and be compassionate towards people, and Dwight doesn't get that.
Fuck, you know, I wish my dad watched The Office.
There are a lot of coaches from the 90s and early 2000s that should have watched The Office and learned the lesson that Ryan was trying to teach.
Dude, I could count on both hands how many coaches every would put hands on me.
Coach.
Dude, fucking scream in your face, put hands on you and shit. It's like, oh my God.
All right, well, see
what
you
is
later.
Wrong with you? Yeah. Yeah, I wish. If you quit, you're like, you fucking pussy.
Yeah, quitting was...
You can't take it.
Quitting got you yelled at even more somehow. So the strength of this team.
Honestly, survivability. I feel like Meredith is a goddamn cockroach and can survive anything.
Fair.
Dwight is a... I give it to Dwight. He'd probably be able to kill a few things out in the wild.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them might be Ryan. Ryan's got enough meat on his bones.
Ryan would definitely be eaten first.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I mean, Dwight might even be able to convince him to give himself up. I could see
it. Creed would just kill him so quickly. It's not even
close. Dude, he would, yeah.
Like, Ryan would start bitching about how dirty it is outside, and Creed would knife the shit out of him.
Wookah! Rip his fucking throat out.
Yeah, I like that. They have the extra team member. They have the fourth team member. Every other team has three. And they also have team pride. There are some Gryffindor chants that go on throughout the episode.
I mean, how can you not chant for Gryffindor? If you don't, you're a jerk.
And Dwight is insane and an idiot. And I think that's a strength for this team.
He is passionate, Calvin. Very passionate.
I said what I said.
I don't take that shit back.
He's insane and an idiot is another great word for passionate.
I'm an insane idiot.
That's so insane idiots on their resume would say I'm very passionate about my work.
There you go. I'm super passionate about my work and I'm a go-getter.
Yes. So what do you have for the weaknesses for Team Gryffindor?
Really, it's the most dysfunctional team you could possibly put together. Meredith is one of the few people that doesn't take Dwight's shit.
She's 100% hammered immediately when they get to the beach, too.
Oh, she's got the fucking 44-ounce styrofoam cup ready to roll, sipping on it the second she steps foot on that. She probably sipped on it the whole way there, pre-game for 17 minutes to 2 hours.
There's apparently a deleted scene. I didn't go watch the deleted scenes. I probably should have, but I read that there's a deleted scene where there's like a no alcohol on the bus sign on the bus. So she like takes off real quick and goes and like pounds one in her van before she gets on the bus. Either that or she like dumps it in a cup. It's something like that so she can sneak more alcohol.
I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that's...
And Ryan is just a kind of a baby. Polar opposite of what Dwight needs
Gryffindor
to be.
Gryffindor stands for.
Yes.
I had poor leadership skills in Dwight. You know, we already talked about him just yelling to motivate his team members. Is not good. And also, Creed's just off noodling, catching fish over there with his arm.
I would have fucked off immediately from this, and I would have been hanging out with Creed.
Like, nah, dude, show me that again. I don't eat fish, so, like,
I don't eat fish again, but the man caught a fish with his bare hands. I'd be like, dude, do that again.
Now we get to the final team, Jim's team. Voldemort.
Love that, dude. He was so great.
Voldemort.
You see the little looks Dwight's shooting him like, you motherfucker.
It's better later when Michael says their team name and Dwight's like holding him, shh, don't say it, don't shh.
Shut up. Fucking say it. I gotta give it to Jim for that because I assumed a lot of this, the details I forgot, and I immediately assumed he was going to say Slytherin, and then he said Voldemort, and it's like, yes.
Yeah.
He really knows how to just stick a knife in Dwight's
ribs. Yeah, it's 100% to fuck with Dwight.
Love it. It's perfect.
And this team is made up of Jim, Karen, and Kevin. What did you have for strengths?
What a
great
team.
Yeah, great. That's the fun team. That's the team I want to be on, because they don't give a shit if they're winning anything. They're just there to have fun.
Well, I mean, you got a hell of an eater in Kevin. Mm-hmm. Actually, one would say maybe the best eater in Kevin. He cooks a hell of a chili. And also, you have – I could totally see like the whole lovey-dovey bullshit that Jim and Karen are going through. And Kevin just sitting back and being like, aw, that's so great.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that.
That was mine too, is just synergy, right? It's a nice office-y buzzword thrown out there. Good synergy. You got Jim and Karen, who are great at working together and are a solid couple. And
they're okay. I mean, I think any team with Jim on it, though, would have good synergy.
And the same thing with Kevin. Kevin's the glue guy that every team needs. He's a Robert Ory out there.
I don't know who that is.
He has won 7 NBA championships, Nick. How do you not know who Robert Horry is? He's just like a role. He's like J.J. Redick. Let's say that. He's just a good role player.
Who's J.J. Redick?
Jesus
Christ. I'm just kidding. I'm just fucking kidding. Gavin's like, oh, you son of a bitch.
We're not getting back to the NBA episodes.
Strongly worded text message.
Yeah. Just, you know, just a, he's a synergy guy. He's there. He's going to make everyone on the team happy.
But it's like Jim knew a food competition was coming.
Yeah. He probably saw 800 hot dogs in the cooler and was like, oh, I know a guy who can eat those.
They were just all in a bag. It was fucking nasty.
What do you have for weaknesses for Voldemort?
Not taking it seriously.
Soul is split into 8 pieces. It's a weakness for sure.
I mean, there you go. I just see them fucking around too much.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael being a little bitch.
Yeah, they prefer to goof around as to actively winning. And, you know, 2 members decide that they're going to interview for the corporate job. So they really have no dog in this fight after that happens.
So I suppose you could call that a weakness.
That they don't give a shit? They started out giving very few shits, and then they decided that they were also going to interview for the job, so now they're giving even less shits.
They're reverse shitting.
Yeah.
So
they're in the negative shits right now. The poop is going back into the butts.
Just have a weird sound effect in the background.
It's the suck it sound, right?
Then you suck it, then you suck it through your butt.
Get it? Yep. All right, so let's move as far away from that as we can.
Just suck it, bro.
Suck it!
You suck it!
Suck it!
Whoop.
All right, that's the sound the thing makes. David Wallace was so good in that episode.
He really was.
Okay, so let's talk about scoring at the beach games. Let's start with how is Pam Ben keeping score and how is she tasked to keep score?
With a pen and paper, a pencil
diligent
and paper.
Note-taking.
Yes, very diligent note-taking. But Michael does not have a uniform system of awarding points.
Not their hotness, per se, but their charisma and their humor and their undefinable qualities, which leads to just a great exchange of Pam saying, you want me to write down everyone's undefinable qualities, and Michael just goes, I want you to write down everything about everything and then type it up in a way that is helpful. And that basically sums up how I take my notes for each episode of this podcast, is I just write down everything about everything and type it up in a way that's helpful.
And try to remember the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta have the reference.
No, there's no remembering. Like, I literally script out almost everything I'm gonna say. Except that sentence, because I didn't know this would come up. And that one. And
you don't say.
And now we're just down a rabbit hole of me being off track, and we see where this goes. This is why I have to plan everything.
Can't tell. I'm a mighty big riffer.
No, there's a good amount of riffing, but I do have a lot. Like, I when I think of something, I have to write it down, because, like, I know I want to make this point, and my brain is so scattered sometimes that I'm like, I'll never get back to this point if I don't write it down.
I always think of things like 4 and 5 days after the episode releases.
Right.
It's like, fuck!
I'll be going through editing, and I'll think of a better joke than, like, the one I said, or a better comment on something you said. I'm just like, what the fuck? If we were professionals at this, we could go back and re-record it. Back in the studio.
Back in the studio, bitches.
And she keeps track of them, all the scores, in her notebook that has no conversion chart.
Why doesn't it have a conversion chart?
We'll get to that. First, let's talk about what Michael thinks the scoring system is and how he has scored different things, as you said, chaotically throughout the episode. What did you get down for all the different scores throughout the episode?
At one point, Jim got 10 points.
Yep.
Stanley got a thumbs up.
Yep.
And Dwight got a gold star.
Yes. I think there's some additional points going out here. Andy's patriotic. He made sure Pam wrote that down, so I think he's counting something for that. Gryffindor wins the egg on the spoon race. Technically, they made it the farthest, the closest back to the original starting point, because Karen just walked off into the lake because Jim was fucking around with her. Kelly stopped immediately because she was afraid of the big rock. And Phyllis just dropped hers after like 3 steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, Ryan made it quite a good ways. Team USA wins the hot dog eating contest led by Andy. I think the blue team wins the sumo wrestling. Like, there was no way. So Dwight won his match and Stanley won his match. So you would think there'd be a championship between Dwight and Stanley. And I just don't think there's any way Stanley loses to Dwight after what he did to Jim.
Well, I think they probably planned on it, but Dwight was just bullying Andy repeatedly. He's like, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, they never got that suit back either.
No, probably lost its deposit. Poor guys.
Pam wins the fire walk, but she's not in contention. Michael's looking for someone with a sales background. So.
With no boobs.
And Dwight lost the fire walk because he looked so pitiful with his feet burning, and Michael deducted 60 points for that. And Dwight won the Amanda Bynes sudden death tribal council round because he was the only one that participated. Stanley had given up and walked away right before the fire walk. Andy had disappeared after sumo wrestling, as we've mentioned several times, just floating around the lake. And Jim removed himself from contention so he could interview for the corporate position. So Dwight technically gets a win there as well.
So I think Dwight won.
Well, let's talk about it. Why isn't there a conversion chart in Pam's notebook? This is always bothered. This was honestly the reason I wanted to do this episode, was to talk about the conversion chart, because it's such a funny Michael moment and it's so on brand for Michael.
Oh, it is perfect. I want to know if that was an improv moment. She just seems so naturally bewildered.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck did you just say to
me? But she does such a good job of responding to it too, because she's just like, I don't think that really makes sense, Michael. He's like, well, just check, Pam.
Okay.
Pam.
I can't. So many bosses have done shit like this to me.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. That was the perfect way to sum up the useless bullshit errands your bosses make you do.
There are so many times at work, like doing data analytics and, you know, finding things from one source and trying to compare them to another source and finding a good way to match these things up. And, you know, I put in hours of work behind something and I get it as close as I can. And then you show it to somebody and they're like, well, but can't you just convert it? And you just want to go, convert what? What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, no, I'd spent several hours on this. I explained to you for 15 minutes what I had to do over those several hours, and your solution is just convert it.
Convert this, nothing. Motherfucker.
You know, and that's Michael. It's exactly what you said. It's somebody who completely doesn't understand what's going on and decides that they have the solution. Right, there's got to be a conversion chart.
You just do it.
But he's had a notebook before, right? Down.
I don't think so.
None of the things make, because that's where the conversion chart comes out, because Pam says Jim got 10 points, Dwight got a gold star, and Stanley got a thumbs up. And she kind of said, I don't know how those things fit together. And Michael's like, we'll see if there's a conversion chart. And none of those things make sense together. And Michael knows they don't make sense together. That's why he's asking for a conversion chart. But he's just so damn ignorant that things don't work the way he thinks they should work, that he just is adamant that Pam must check.
Well, For some reason, I assumed that back in the day when he was in elementary school and he had a notebook with a conversion chart in it,
that's
a very
right.
simple one, you know, and then
your
he
inches
drew...
to centimeters and all of that, yeah.
Right, and then he drew many penises from centimeters to inches big and tons of boobs, and they were like, no more notebooks for you guys. So he has that deficit in conversion chart knowledge, and I think it's just his ignorance. Poor guy.
So there's obviously no conversion chart, because why would there be, right? But I want to take this moment, and this is something that I just thought of last night when I was putting the notes together. This isn't something I had in mind when I first put this outline together, but it dawned on me that we need to take this moment to build the conversion chart.
We can do this.
So I went ahead and did it. Tell me if you agree or disagree. Points are going to be the base for all of the conversions. Everything's going to be converted back to points because I think it's the most universal thing and the easiest to convert to.
Yes, it's universal.
Okay. 10 points, obviously. 10 points. Simple. I think a gold star is worth 20 points.
I'd say a gold star is more like 5 points.
I think gold star is the highest accolade you could get here. it's gold and it's a star, which are two great things. So you get 10 points for gold and 10 points for star. If Jim got just 10 points for something, I think a gold star is better than 10 points. So you got to go up a level.
Because he was golden face.
Well, Jim didn't get the gold star. Dwight got the gold star.
Yeah, but he got 10 points. And you said gold is 10 and star is 10.
Exactly. So do you agree with me?
You're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, I get you.
For the sake of argument, no. I mean, yes. Yes. I think that's fair.
All right. And then I got a thumbs up as 1 point.
See, that's got to be at least like 5.
I'm,
it took a lot for Michael to give Stanley a thumbs up.
I'm willing to go to 5, but it has to be the lowest. A thumbs up is literally the most effortless thing you could do to tell someone they did a good job. So that's why I think it should be the lowest here. Like, just doing this, that's nothing. And obviously, this is a podcast, so you didn't see me put my thumb up.
Well, I'm sitting here like, what, where? I was like, huh, where, what?
Well, Nick and I aren't even on camera, so like, he can't see it. I did a thumbs up, and it was super effortless.
It's got to be more than 1 point, because he knows a thumbs up won't insult him. But you know, Michael, we spoke about this earlier, would be like, hey, my man, good job. Keep it up.
He definitely went in for a fist bump and didn't get it. So then he's like, he moved the fist bump into a thumbs up and then yelled back at Pam, Pam, Stanley gets a thumbs up.
I tripped. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
My fist was coming at you. I could see him definitely saying, being like, Black Power, brother.
It's like, it's like the Tom Brady gif where he's holding up his hand and nobody gives him a high five and he just kind of rocks it into a fist pump. Yeah, that's Michael here.
Yeah!
Goes for a fist pump, turns it into a thumbs up, then tells Pam to write that down.
This has happened to me several times, and it's...
Yeah.
It was horribly embarrassing.
I'm doing so many thumbs up right now that the listeners can't see. It's not even funny.
You should just make the episode picture you with your thumbs up.
So who do you think is winning according to Michael's scoring system?
I'm going to go with Stanley.
Really?
Or Dwight, actually, okay. Because the gold star.
Yeah, we already determined that's 20 points. But Dwight, he also wins the egg race.
And he walks on fire.
He wins his match in sumo, but I'm assuming he lost in the championship to Stanley there. He wins the Amanda Bynes sudden death tribal council round. I made an acronym out of it in this note, so I couldn't figure out what the R stood for. ABSDTCR, the Amanda Bynes sudden death tribal council round. That's what it is.
Dang. That's the last person I would want in a tribal council.
Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, that'd be really fucked up.
He gets 20 points for his gold star, as we discussed. I think he's way ahead of the other teams at this point, even with the brutal loss of 60 points for the firewalk. Remember, he tried the firewalk, but Michael deducted 60 points for it.
What a dick.
Because he looks so pitiful.
He's such an asshole. I can't do it. I already burnt my foot on a George Foreman grill.
So, in your opinion, who wins this? If we're only considering beach games and what happened at the beach games, who won?
I mean, I gotta say Dwight. Because Andy literally won none. Jim didn't participate.
The hot dog contest. Andy won the hot dog contest.
I mean, I guess that counts, but he lost like a little B word.
I mean, he did puke like it up.
A little buster.
And then disappeared for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, right. So he's out. I think Stanley came in second for sure because he tried and came close. But, you know, little kid Icarus action and his wings melted away. He came crashing back down. And so, yeah, Dwight is left at number one.
Yeah, it's got to be Dwight. Like you said, Jim didn't take it seriously, and he wouldn't take being regional manager seriously if he were recommended, as we kind of saw when he was co-manager.
I mean, he tried for a little while.
He tried, but there was still kind of the goofiness to him.
It's staying in the same office. If he would have went to a different office,
that's true. If he would have gone on to be the Albany branch manager, I think he would have been fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Stanley, he was a little too selfish about everything. He was only there so he didn't have to work for someone else. But I agree. I think he's second in points here.
He tried.
And then Andy disappeared for most of the games. So.
Well, I mean, Stanley literally looked like he would kill for that job.
but for selfish reasons, not because he wants to make the branch the best it could be, because he doesn't want to work for anyone else.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then Andy disappeared, and as we would later see, that's exactly what he'd do as regional manager, is he disappears.
Dang! That's a good point. I didn't even think about that for 3 months. Dun, dun, dun.
Greg Daniels knew it all along, or Mike Schur, whoever was writing these episodes.
Probably did. Wouldn't be surprised.
So I think Dwight, he's got the most points. He cares most about the job to do it well and to keep the branch running strong. I think Dwight earned his spot here.
I mean, and he already has the experience of assistant to the regional manager. That's so it's very true. Almost and a shoo-in at this point. Manager. That's correct.
So let's talk about Toby. This is our fifth something, because Toby got left behind. Toby was not in the beach games, in case anybody didn't notice when we were running through our team names or our team lists and hasn't seen this episode in a while. Toby did not attend.
So they just left him behind, right?
Yeah, they left him at the office. I read something that because I can't think of his real name, but the actor that plays Toby, because he was a writer on
Lieberstein. Yeah, there you go.
Paul Lieberstein, yes. Because he's a writer on the show, they would sometimes leave them out of these bigger things so they could focus more on writing, so they wouldn't appear on camera as much. And maybe that's why we didn't see Kelly as much in this episode either. And we really didn't see a lot of Ryan, because those are three of the big writers in this writer's room for The Office were Toby, Kelly, and Ryan.
That's true. I also read that episodes that don't feature Toby or very, very little, most episodes where he's not in them at all, Paul Lieberstein actually wrote.
Yes.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he wrote this episode.
I don't remember if I read this or I inferred it, but they would keep him off camera as much as they could so they could keep paying them as a writer instead of an actor or something like that.
I wonder if it's cheaper.
I just made that up in my head or not, though. I have no substantiation behind that. I think it would probably be cheaper to pay someone as a writer than an actor.
It'd probably be more like a block payment, whereas mm-hmm. actor would probably... I would not be surprised if it was contractual.
Right. They might have only been allowed a certain amount of screen time or whatever. So Michael tells Toby he's not allowed to come to the beach, even though he's got SPF 30 sunscreen with him, because someone needs to be at the office.
Gotta have somebody. Why not Toby?
I don't know why, though. Like, they have an answering machine.
Whatever. 'Cause it's Toby.
Yeah. Well, gotta Michael wants this day to go perfectly, and that can't happen with Toby around. Toby would ruin everything for Michael. You know, Michael wants this to be his last hurrah. He wants everyone to send him off lovingly at the end of the day.
It's to stroke his ego.
Yeah, and if Toby's there, if Toby's there, he's not going to feel that.
Ugh, why are you the way that you are?
So what is Toby doing the whole time at the office? Now, we don't see him at all. We see him put like one piece of paper in the thing, the like mailbox on reception, but that's all we see. So what are you thinking he's doing?
Fucking smelling Pam's stuff. He's
that's good.
He's all up in that chair, dude.
Yeah, he's like, just sitting at reception waiting for that phone to ring.
Sniffing that chair hardcore. He's like, oh my god.
I'm sorry, who are you calling for? I was rubbing the phone against my face.
Farts. And my first thought, honestly, is like, Toby probably jerking off somewhere in that office.
No.
Inclined to think it's probably at Pam's desk.
I don't think that's Toby. I think he's probably working, which is complete bullshit. I think he's answering the phone, he's filing paperwork, he's responding to emails, like he's doing his job, which...
The hardest Toby's ever worked.
What the hell are you doing, Toby?
Yeah, fuck that. I'd set up my last day at Macy's. So this was where everyone was gone, it was my last day. I brought my PlayStation 2 in and just fucking set up a TV and sat there for 7.5 hours and played Grand Theft Auto.
Nice.
Kicked my shoes off and everything.
I gotta get back to Grand Theft Auto. I made it through like 3 missions on Grand Theft Auto 3. I haven't gone back to it for a while.
You son of a bitch.
But
if I was Toby, I would have something like that on lock in my desk.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have phones now, so.
And I mean, what?
Wouldn't matter.
Why is he even staying at the office? Like, I would be setting up that voicemail message so fast, and I'd just be fucking gone. I'd figure out how to forward the phones to my cell phone or set up the voicemail, whatever it needs to be done. Or if I felt obligated to actually stay there, I'd have been kicking back, watching movies as much as possible. Like you said, we've got our phones. The internet's a thing. I guess in 2007, you know, there's no Netflix streaming or anything like that. But I feel like he could have found something better to do with his time. Michael's got Varsity Blues in the office somewhere. Sit back and watch that.
Well, I mean, he's got all the YouTube links you could ever need.
Yeah. Everyone else doesn't get to go to the beach and expect me to sit there and work diligently. That's not happening.
Fuck no. I'd be pranking all of them. I'd be doing something to fuck with all those people.
I wouldn't. That's too much effort. Like, y'all are gone. Fuck it. I'm not putting any y'all effort in if everybody's gone.
You're going to come back to the smell of turds or something horrendous.
All right.
I'm very immature.
I see that.
I'm a 28-year-old man, and I think farts can be very funny.
You and my wife would get along very well.
Dude, no lie. There's this cat on the addendum here to the episode, speaking of farts. There's this cat that rolled up to me on his forklift the other day, and he says, "Please forgive me." And then he rode off, and I swear to God, it was like a fucking shit bomb. It was the worst.
The worst.
But I mean, every time he went by, it was like he shit his pants.
So now addendum over. To the part of the episode where we talk about what we would do in some of these situations. So, Nick, what would you do? What is your take on outings like this? Do you like them, dislike them as a like within an office environment or with a work environment?
Fucking hate them.
I agree.
They are stupid. They are a waste of time. And let's just be real. Everyone that goes to these functions wants to be drunk. They want to be because it's like, fuck, I'm working around all these assholes.
Because they don't actually
all the time.
Want to be there.
Right. But you can't get shit-faced because you'll fucking get shit-canned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to find that good, like, where you feel okay and you're loose, you're a little loosey-goosey, but you can't go full drunk because you're definitely going to do something that's going to get yourself fired. And they'll say, you know, like, oh, you're fine. We're outside the office. You know, let loose a little bit. But no, there's definitely, like, Meredith would definitely be getting fired from beach games if this were a real office setting.
Oh, hell yeah. 100%.
I'm not a fan of it either. But, like, if I have to do something like this, I would rather it be something like Michael did rather than some generic ass dinner and drinks outing. You know, I've done those. I've done both of those things where it's just, let's go have dinner and some beers, and they're super boring. You realize you have nothing in common with any of these coworkers beyond work, so you end up talking about work all night, and that sucks because I would rather just be at home watching movies or something. And
you'd rather stare at a blank wall than talk about work.
Continue to talk about work after hours. Yeah, I agree.
Right.
And I've done some others where there is like an activity planned, and those are infinitely better. We went to Topgolf one time as one of these outings, and it's one of the better ones I've had. You know what Topgolf is?
Nope.
It is a driving range, but it's like three stories of a driving range.
Oh!
And you hit like into targets. Yeah. And so, like, you're trying to hit the ball into targets and shit, and it's a lot of fun. And there wasn't a lot of commingling going on during that because everyone's taking their turns hitting balls. You're getting your drink. There's a lot to do, and you're kind of talking more about the activity that is going on. You're talking about, oh, how'd that last guy shoot? What's going on here? What's your score? All that stuff. Then you're talking about work. But again, also, I still probably would have rather been back at the hotel watching a movie. And, you know, that's probably just a me thing. But, yeah, like, I don't need to hang out with people from work. Like, ask me for what you need. I'll do it. I don't need to get to know you personally. I don't care.
No, not at all. And fun fact, I made that mistake when I was a young man working in the restaurant industry.
And hey, guess what? They don't care either.
Yeah. They don't.
That's just more shit they can hold against you if they want to.
Oh, they did. Because I was 18 and I got a little too drunk.
Come on, Meredith. Let's hear the story.
Oh, I don't really remember what happened all that much. I remember me and my buddy went and we had fake IDs. So we showed up with beer. And I remember my general manager looked right at me and he's like, you're 18. How did you get that? I was like,
That's not really your business.
It's non-alcoholic. Why don't you mind your shit? And then I continued to drink too much in the hot sun. I didn't eat anything beforehand and puked everywhere, like right in front. I just remember I was standing there talking to a couple friends of mine, and it was like, ugh.
Yeah, that's rough.
And just go right back to conversation. And then they cooked a bunch of food, and at this point I was starving, and I remember pounding like 3 cheeseburgers, just going to town. Oh, I was.
It ain't easy. Down on being cheesy.
Being cheesy. And just, I remember my boss at the time was just like, wow, you're eating a lot. Are you high? And I looked him right in the face with my super red eyes that were barely open. I was like, nah, dude. No, I didn't go behind the pool garage, whatever the fuck it is. But that was my younger restaurant days. And it's so on top of that, all my managers knew I smoked weed at the time, so every time I came in, I could feel them like,
on weed.
What you been doing today, Nick? You smell like fantastic cologne. Ralph Lauren Blue. No weed here, guy.
You covered it up well. Good job.
Yeah, it was the worst thing I could possibly fucking do, is go to a company event and act a fool.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. Don't do that, kids.
Don't do that shit, dude. Don't.
So let's move a little forward here. If it's mandatory to attend, you have to do this. Your company is throwing a beach games. It's exactly what happens in this episode. But it's your company, all the people you work with currently. You go to the beach for the day. At which level, which character's level are you participating in your own company's version of this?
Honestly, probably Andy's. I'm going to give it a go for the first two things, and then I'm going to disappear.
Okay, I like that. I thought you were like, I'm going to be super intense. I'm going to make sure everyone knows I'm here to win. No, I like
I'm gonna
to
start
disappear
that way.
Halfway through. That's good.
I'm going to start that way, and then I'm just going to fade into the background.
That way everybody remembers that you were in it. Because nobody's going to remember, like, 2 weeks down the road, nobody's going to remember you disappeared. They'll remember how intense you were at the beginning, though.
Right, they'll be like, man, that Nick guy, he really, his team was Team USA, he's fucking patriotic as shit, and I trust him, but he disappears sometimes.
I'd probably land somewhere between Jim and Kevin. I'd participate, but I would try to participate with as little effort as possible, because it's always more fun to be doing something than to be doing nothing, and that's why we're a podcast about something, obviously.
Dang.
But I'd also be trying to find ways to make it more fun for myself, which Jim looks like he's trying to do with, like, messing with Karen and things like that. I feel like standing off to the sidelines of this, being a like a Stanley type person,
an observer.
Yeah, you're just sitting. Phyllis probably is just like sitting behind, watching what's going on. That would be super boring, because I'd rather have something to do than just sit on the beach with my coworkers. Like, I don't want to just sit there and talk to you.
Well, fuck that. You don't even have any booze to enjoy while you're on a hot beach. You have shitty hot dogs to eat. Like, I'm doing something just to make the time pass.
Right, exactly. I have to be there anyways. I'm going to participate in the things that have participation.
At least a little bit.
Why do you think companies do dumb shit like this?
Because they think it's team building, and if they really wanted to do team building, they'd just be like, all right, we rented out a laser tag center. We will not be there. The beer is paid for. The food is paid for.
Anytime the boss is there, it automatically changes the vibe.
Well, because, it's a work dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. I still have to listen to this person.
Right, and he's trying to impart – it's company time if he's here, so he's trying to impart some bullshit, you know – bullshit upon me. And every company I've worked at has done shit like this. Even the company I work at now, they canceled the past two events because COVID, obviously. But I just don't get it. It's dumb.
Yeah, it just feels like a waste of time. Like, people would rather be at home with their families than doing some dumb bullshit like this. Like, just send everybody home early if you want to boost their energy level.
Yeah, give them a half day and pay them for a full. There you go. Easy peasy. Yep. Or how about this? Instead of throwing a fucking party, give me a fucking raise. Give me 25 cents. I don't care.
I think companies think it helps coworkers bond, but it really, from management's point of view, it's a way for them to kind of force productivity on people in a way that doesn't feel like they are. So because you're at these things, you're usually still discussing work, but it doesn't feel like work. So more ideas are flying around. People are more open to taking on new things when, you know, you're discussing it in this environment, because you're a little looser, you're more laid back, and you don't expect someone to hold an agreement made at an outing like this over your head if you say it's something you can do. So, like, for instance, I've been at these things where we're like, with like salespeople, and they'll be talking about, oh yeah, like we need to track this and this. I'm like, yeah, that's probably something we can do. And then all of a sudden, a week later, they're like, hey, did you ever get this done? I'm like, we were talking about it at 8 o'clock at night, three beers deep. Like, no, I have other things on my schedule. I didn't think that was like an immediate need that you needed in the next 3 days. You know,
I thought about it literally for 0 seconds since that time.
Yeah, it's something I can do. Do we need to have a deeper discussion about what can actually happen and how long it's going to take to put something like that together?
It's like, I'll do it for a sixer, but
and so when these things happen after hours, people get the quote-unquote opportunity to be productive and discuss work while they don't feel like they're working, which is good for management because for all the reasons I just pointed out. And if it happens during the workday, you now have to work twice as hard the next day to catch up on all the shit you missed because you're out doing this bullshit and you're still out there kind of with a work mindset. So it's like it's good because you're not sitting in the office all day, and that's nice. But at the same time, like, there are ulterior motives, because if it was just like, we want to get you guys out of the office, it would be like, just take a Friday off, take a half day, whatever, go to the beach with your family, go do something that you enjoy. But forcing us all to be together and keeping this work dynamic makes it feel like something different.
It's work.
Yeah, it's work. It's basically still work.
You're basically making me participate in this bullshit. You're dictating what I can eat. Like, fuck all that.
Yeah. I strong agree there. Like, just let me go home. I don't care about any of these people. I will not be friends with them. I don't want to be friends with them. Like, just let me go home.
So let me keep them as a workplace associate. Yeah. I'm cool with that.
What does Ron call them?
A workplace proximity associate.
That's it. Yeah. I knew there was another word in there.
You're expert.
So while I'm watching this episode last night, my wife's kind of doing her own thing, walking around, and she mentioned that was one of her favorite episodes. So that brings me to a new point that I didn't add on the outline, but I figure you'll be able to do it off the top of your head. And this is one of my favorites as well. She said she likes it because Pam stood up for herself, and it happens outside the office. So you do get a different feel, which is great. In watching a TV show about office life, is you do get a different dynamic with the show being somewhere else, but it's not as fun to actually do in person. So what are your top three office episodes?
Ooh, top three.
Three to five.
The dinner party?
Yeah.
That's definitely my favorite episode. This is my third favorite episode, mostly because I agree with your wife to a certain degree in regards to Pam standing up for herself, but you also see Ryan stand up for himself, Angela stand up for herself to a certain degree. You know, she's taking a position, and who else stands up for themselves?
Dwight? This firewall?
Dwight stands up for, you know, to a certain degree. But you see a lot of background characters. And Stanley kind of stands up for himself too. He actually goes for something, so it's interesting in that regard. My second favorite episode, the one with the cold open where there's Asian Jim.
That's great.
For that cold open.
Yeah. Alright. I like all the memes that go around with Randall Park now. Like, anything Randall Park's in, it's everybody's like, oh, John Krasinski's really great in this show or really great in this movie. It's always funny.
He's very lovable.
Yeah. Randall Park's great. So mine are basketball, number one. I think the first episode I ever saw, and just like, I fell in love with it when I saw the dynamic that was playing out on the basketball, because playing pickup basketball most of my life, you see all of that stuff happen, and it just hit it perfectly. The dinner party is probably number two, and it's a tie for number three between Happy Hour with Date Mike and Beach Games.
Yes.
And third honorable mention here is Casino Night. I really like Casino Night too.
That's a great night.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot of really good episodes.
There are.
Odwalla. No, that's in Juice. Diwali.
That's a pretty good.
Man,
one.
I feel like a fucking. I tried samosas the other day. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. They're so good. My wife, she went to a bachelorette party for a. She's from Yemen. Mm-hmm. And
is there any salmon fishing going on there?
Yeah, I mean, Ewan McGregor did a wicked hook shot, if you know what I mean. But I also tried some falafel.
You just made me think of when he fucking hooks that guy.
Oh, dude, from like 40 yards away. Hooks him right in the cheek. Doesn't even care.
I forgot most of the stuff happening in that movie, but that just like, that scene just flashed into my head. And it's awesome.
Oh my god, my cat farted.
Check out our Patreon bonus episode about salmon fishing in Yemen. That is in the main feed now. I am just ignoring your fart, your cat fart.
Fuck you shit on me, dude. Oh my god. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry.
This is all staying in. The world needs to know your cat just shit on you.
Oh my god. It stinks so bad.
You said you're one for a fart joke.
It's not funny.
I think it's hilarious.
He just fucking left too, the little bastard. Just came in here and fucking shit on me. He didn't literally shit on me, but he...
So you had some fucking samosas from the samosas and falafel from the bachelorette party.
Yes, the falafel was absolutely stunningly terrible. Tasted like shit.
That did not go where I thought it was going.
But yeah, Diwali, I would totally go to that. It's a good episode.
Would you bring your wife dressed as a cheerleader?
No, I think it would be funny, but I'd love her too much to embarrass her like that.
Did you have anything else on the beach games?
I did not.
How does everyone forget sunscreen other than Toby?
Hey, Toby! Because most people don't think about that, except for pasty-ass fools like Toby and myself.
I think about it.
Are you pasty?
Yeah.
Do you tan?
Sometimes. I've had enough sunburns in my life that I even the thought of being sunburned is like too much effort. I'm like, no, it's easy to just spray this shit on and move on with my life.
Right. But I mean, I'm so pale. I worked outside for 3 years and I did not get a tan.
That's rough.
Yeah. I'm just red. I'm like white and red. I'm very Irish.
Understandable. So that is it for Beach Games. If you enjoyed this episode, we have other Office episodes out there. Episode 118 from August of 2020 on the Dunder Mifflin management structure. A lot of fun there. Episode 65 from June of 2019 was on the Dunder Mifflin branch merger when Stamford and Scranton branches merged, like a 3-episode arc there that we covered. And that, you know, leads right into Beach Games because we got all these people from Stamford in the Beach Games. And then we did episode 45 was on from January of 2019 was on the dinner party. Nick's favorite episode, my second favorite episode.
Wasn't last week episode 145?
No, last week was 146. This week is 147.
Oh, we're quite close to the old 100 episodes ago.
Yes.
Never mind. Sorry, I digress.
Yeah. Dinner party would have been 100 episodes ago, 2 episodes ago.
100 episodes.
Yeah. We've done a lot of episodes, and there's a lot out there to enjoy if you enjoyed this. You can also follow us on Twitter, where we talk about stuff all the time. That's at APA something and at @alone_podcast. You can sign up for our newsletter that may or may not last very long, but there's a link in the comments if you want to check that out.
It's a good newsletter.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Send us a question. We'll answer it. Send us a question on Twitter. We'll answer it in the next newsletter if you feel inclined. And thank you always to Those Cats for providing the music for a podcast about something.
You guys stay sassy.
Stay classy.